So, Prabhu, are there some questions?
Dear Maharaj, first, may you say, may you tell us a little about your preaching program in China?
Oh, sure. Three new initiates, Harinam initiates, one lady's husband, Jayanti, her husband, took Harinam, also Dhruva Prabhu, his wife, took Harinam, very nice lady, and a new young girl who, well, first is Fulindu, then Indrani, and last is a young girl who very compassionate toward everyone, been following vegetarianism strictly for some time, years, and very concerned about other living beings and pleading on their behalf for compassion and mercy. So, give her a name, Karuna, Karuna Moyi. Really means Radharani is full of compassion. Krishna consciousness is the ultimate compassion for everyone, not just what is called humane in the contemporary world, but like Kripam Bhuti Yat Paraduka Duki, the Vaishnava's sadness, unhappiness is to see suffering on account of the absence of Krishna or lack of a connection with Krishna. And we see also these devotees enthusiastic to establish some places within the existing system there where can be an access point for people to come in connection with Krishna consciousness. So, and our devotees behaving very sweetly and preaching nicely, and every night someone coming to the center showing interest. So I'm very happy about it, inspired about it. And so in a difficult circumstance, they're showing what can be done. Just as when Bhakti Abhay Narayan Maharaj, myself, first met with Srila Guru Maharaj in Rangora Purnima of 1979, and he heard that we were preaching in Eastern Europe, in so-called communist countries. You've heard of that, I'm sure. and Russia, going to Russia sometimes. And Guru Maharaj, he was very happy about it. And he said, oh, if you're given some difficult seva, you get more mercy. So you should consider yourselves really fortunate that some difficult seva came to you. He was gave us a very inspiring talk. Right. Like, it was like thematically similar to Kunti's Vipadakshantu Takshashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyad Apunar Bhavadarshanam. When devotees find themselves in situations that are, the environment is at odds in extreme way with what they're trying to do, whether it be socially, politically, otherwise, they may become the recipients of even a greater amount, quality, quantity of grace. As I was remembering today in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's interesting, and in Charitamritam, in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he's Swayam Bhagavan. But because of the social political situation, sometimes devotees will come and advise him not to go on this route at this time, or there's some local relative conflict going on. So you would think, as the absolute, he doesn't, you know, that being that person for whom a blade of grass does not move without his will, that this would be irrelevant to him. We could chalk it up to a Prakriti Leela, you know, having the drama and the tension, humanness, as it were, as an element and divine pastimes to make some drama, some tension, some increased intensity. But Mahaprabhu will remind them. He will say, like, when they're, for example, they're told, Mahaprabhu's just taken sannyas. He's in an extreme ecstatic state, doing kirtan everywhere with everyone, beginning with Keshava Bharati, but including everyone else, everyone he meets. He's always doing kirtan, and at some point they have to ride on a boat in a dangerous area. And so the boatman is saying, like, can you keep the kirtan down? You know, like, because that will, he's saying, first of all, we're in a place where there are crocodiles, tigers. It's like the 24 Parganas section of Bengal, what's now known as that. So he's saying the environment is dangerous to begin with, crocodiles and tigers. But also, you're going to attract pirates and robbers of all. So he's trying to tell them not to have kirtan. And Mahaprabhu keeps, he's wildly ecstatic, the boat is ready to sink, and they're trying to, the devotees listen to that boatman and think, oh, okay, all right. And Mahaprabhu tells them, what? He said, can't you see my Sudarshan Chakra? Look, don't you see Sudarshan Chakra spinning? Always protecting the devotees under all circumstances. Right? Like in Ambarish, Durvasa pastime, and others. Saying, don't you see Sudarshan? Don't, why are you worried? Mukunda, sing! You know. So, it's an element in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. It's an element in the pastimes of Krishna. And we see it's an element in the pastimes of the modern day Krishna consciousness movement. That the devotees, their faith is tested in different ways. To see, when Mahaprabhu turns to that group, says, what did you bring with you for this tour? And they all answer, nothing. You are our only wealth. He is very happy to hear that. They didn't say, oh, I brought a little something just in case. No, they said, we didn't bring anything. We're just with you. You're everything to us. He was very happy about that. That doesn't mean, like, you know, we shall not be tactful at times. When the Sringa Chaitanya Prabhu was entering immigration in England, and they said to him, how do you maintain yourself? He said, begging. Simple-hearted Vaishnav. They didn't give him a visa. They said, in our country, we do not glorify beggars. He said, by begging. But Saraswati Thakur, like the begging of Gaudiya Math, as Guru Maharaj said, when the devotees ask someone for something or for donation or whatever it might be, they're giving that person an opportunity, actually. It's really an opportunity that is being extended to that person to come get some nirguna connection with the service of Mahaprabhu. which is inconceivably wonderful and supremely beneficial for everyone. So whenever our devotees are operating in special circumstances like that, they get some special grace from the Lord, and it's in evidence there and elsewhere, but particularly there. So, Ananyas chintyantumam yejana paryupasate tesham shatabhyaktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. In the Gita, where Krishna gives his assurance that if my devotees are in need of something or apparently lacking some paraphernalia, facility, whatever it might be, I personally compensate. And we've heard a story when someone, Prabhupada told his name as Arjuna Acharya, some commentator, he thought, that's not right. Some interpretation that the Lord will personally do this, that he'll serve. He didn't like that idea, that and striking it out, the Lord will personally bear that burden, carry what is needed. And we thought two boys show up deliver, I don't know what it was, firewood or something to his wife, and they're all bruised and beaten. And she says, who did this to you? And they said, your husband. What? He's so cruel. Yes, he beat us. He beat us when he's striking this with his pen. He's beating us. So he could understand when Krishna says, I will personally supply that. He means he will personally supply the necessities of his devotees. Gopritve Bharan. Belief in that, the principal anga of Saranagati, to utterly offer oneself and become dependent upon Krishna and Krishna's mercy for everything. It's the hallmark and basis of pure devotion. So sometimes we don't know really substantially what we've come in connection with. Despite having heard so many things, we retain our own modified version of what we think that is. However glorious or wonderful, still it's our own, tainted by our own lack of belief, faith, full embrace. But that's to be expected. We're in the newly recruited section. We can expect that. Sadhu Sangha Satovare, for our faith will be increased. Where is this coming from? If you can just move it. So it doesn't come to me. It's good incense. If you use it outdoors and it's making the whole area fragrant, you can understand it's high quality. Hare Krishna. So Guru Maharaj told me in the beginning of preaching on his behalf in the Western world that Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada is doubtlessly, without a doubt, pleased with what you're doing, as I am, my Guru Maharaj. And if you will go on in this way sincerely, then Mahaprabhu will supply all the paraphernalia and resources necessary for your seva. We have to have faith in that. Yes, so some question?
Maharaj, I would like to ask about kirtan.
About kirtan?
Kirtan, yes. Today you met with Abhiram Thakur Prabhu, told him that kirtan was like special today, tonight, before
yeah.
the lecture.
But it may be special every night.
Yes, but
but I felt something, like some extra lift.
Yes, and I also heard when he arrived here a couple of months ago, He Abhiram Thakur Prabhu.
Abhiram Prabhu, yeah.
Yes. And in Lakhta, we usually do program a little bit differently from here, like here. We have a big kirtan after Gurudev Parikrama and kirtan after Tulasi Parikrama and also after Hariharaya.
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes Anandamoyi can sing. And I heard that you said, I heard it from other people, that try to do it minimally if it's not special occasion. So why? Yeah. If it's
well, it, because I recall the kirtan as it was in the time of Guru Maharaj. He's my guru. Right? There's a way they did kirtan at the mat in his presence. So I assume that that is, was pleasing to him because I saw that in his time, if there was something not right, even someone playing the kartals too loud, remember, Guru Maharaj was on his veranda, here was the Nat Mandir where the kirtan was. So it was like 10 meters away. He heard everything. If there was something that disturbed him for whatever reason, he sent someone down to correct it. So, there, you know what reins are? Like you control a horse. There were tight reins on the kirtan. So that's for me. Sometimes in the aftermath of Guru Maharaj, in Gurudev's time, I would hear something, say, a kirtan at the mat, and look, and that I might think might not be entirely pleasing to Srila Guru Maharaj. I look over to Srila Gurudev, and he would say, they are enthusiastic. Like that. Like, don't try to correct, or just let it go. That's what he would say. They are enthusiastic. So, in Guru Maharaj's time, they did not sing Hari Bol for a half an hour. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, you know. But if someone wants to do that, I'm not going to stop them. But that was not, and Jaya everything. Anything, put jai to anything and everything. That was not the fashion. Or to sing Jaya Guru Maharaj, Jaya Gurudev at the end of every single type of kirtan. At the end of like Gurudev Kripa Bindudiya, Jai Gurudev, appropriate. But at the end of every single song, not. But as Gurudev, if they are enthusiastic, we could be doing worse things than having kirtan, extra kirtan. So it depends on the program. Like, I'm speaking on particular days. The days I'm not speaking, the devotees are inclined to do more kirtan, they may. But another thing to be mindful of is, you know, Srila Swami Maharaj, famous in one of his purports in Chaitanya Charitamritam, he saw, and I did it also as a brahmachari and others, we had these kirtans, so-called, where everyone ended up, looked like they went for a swim. Clothes were all drenched in sweat, and you know. And he said in his purport by this, he said, they may increase their bile secretion, but they will not increase their love of Krishna. So sometimes, as young men, we were using kirtan, you could say, as sort of passionate release. It's not described anywhere that kirtan should be of that quality. Right? That it's just an outlet for passion. So there's so many things. But as again, devotees are enthusiastic, genuinely enthusiastic, not to make a show or to play, or but in service to the holy name. We have no objection. But I can also understand that Guru Maharaj's time, that was his time, things were done a particular way. Things, that's now so many years ago, 30 years ago. And devotees, if they did some particular type of kirtan in the presence of Srila Gurudev, and he did not object, I'm not going to object either. But sometimes we should think, where does something come from? We had this experience previously that singing particular songs, why they were sung. Like once Prabhupada was in a difficult situation, his health was not good, so many things. So devotees thought his life was in danger, and they asked, is there something we can do to something we can sing or say for your protection? So he told him, oh, you can chant these prayers to Nrisimhadev. So later we saw that published as prayer for the protection of the spiritual master. You understand? Then it became labeled that way. So if then someone joined, they understand, why are we doing this? Is the prayer for the protection of the spiritual master. But it's, you know, Mahaprabhu sang these certain prayers in front of Nrisimha. It's in Chaitanya Charitamritam. And the other is part of Dasavatar Stotram of Jayadeva Goswami. And what Prabhupada said in this instance, oh, you can sing this. But they took it as labeled now part of our tradition, the prayer for the protection of the spiritual master. And then it became sung at the end of every arati, that must be there. And there must be a picture on the altar of Nrisimhadev. When actually that may have just sort of inadvertently become a tradition. So if certain things inadvertently become tradition, then who knows what it'll be like in, generation after generation. But so we should be, when it comes to these things, I think err on the side of caution. Be more conservative than introducing things or making assumptions about it. But as I said, in this particular situation, what was accepted in the time, in the presence of Srila Gurudev, he did not object to, I don't object to it. But if you listen to him sing, then you'll be on solid ground. If you sing the melody he sang and the way he conducted the songs or the kirtans. We're told everything. Ado arpita paschad kriyeta. Sridhar Swami, the famous commentator in the Bhagavatam, says, for something to qualify as devotion, beginning and middle and end is for Krishna. An offering to Krishna. So we can think about that. There's a level of enthusiasm that is appreciable, and then there's just going wild. which starts getting into a gray area of, are we using this to serve some lower purpose instead of offering ourselves in service of a higher purpose? So we can be a little thoughtful about that. There's some other question?
Maharaj, what did you mean saying they have they didn't say jai to everything when you described in the beginning of your answer?
I'm saying it was not a fashion. I'll give you an example. In Guru Maharaj's time, imagine, in his mat, they were not saying Jaya Guru Maharaj. At the end of Kripa Bindu Diya, they were saying Jaya Guru Dev. That came later. In his lifetime, they were not saying Jaya Guru Maharaj at his own mat. So it's we shall give jai to the Vaishnavas. You're asking me a question, I'm giving you an answer. So are we to assume in Guru Maharaj's time, he's upstairs, you know, 10 meters away from the Nat Mandir. Does he know how to do a kirtan properly or not? The guardian of devotion, Bhakti Rakak, the holder, you know, Saraswati Thakur's voice. Does he understand what's the proper way to sing and have kirtan or not? But it's 30 years later and they are enthusiastic. So don't think I'm telling people not to be enthusiastic. But just with some dignity, enthusiasm with some dignity. There's whatever's going on, there's no need to change it. Put it that way. I'm not dissatisfied. Neither is Avadhut Maharaj. Avadhut Maharaj understands sometimes, like in festival time, to amp things up a little bit. There's many people have come. He's cleverly, he wants to engage, gets all the people involved. So he's adopted particular strategies to do that. It has some purpose. Once some devotee who could read Sanskrit and Bengali was reading all these books, and he's talking about upabhrangshik and upashik and different, you know, spotavad and this, all these different descriptions about taking the name of Krishna. You can chant aloud, japa softly, aspirated, manasik, mental, many different ways. And he asks Guru Maharaj, which way is the best? And Guru Maharaj quoted the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam. He said, it must have some spiritual character. It's not that loud, soft, medium, aspirate, that one of those is the best. It must have some spiritual quality to it. He said, that's what is important. So in the kirtan also, if it's enthusiastic, loud, longer, shorter, what is the quality of it is the most important thing. So we also understand, in St. Petersburg, people are coming. We have a program on the weekend, a lot of people come. When they come, we want to have kirtan probably longer, so not everyone comes at the same time, so that they'll get some opportunity to participate in the kirtan. But we see there are places in India where they boast of having 24-hour kirtan. What is the quality of that kirtan? we can understand what its quality is by how it's described. 24-hour kirtan. So its special quality is its longevity, that it goes on all day and night. So the emphasis is not on the quality of it, but on the quantity of it. They're boasting it. We do this all day and night. We'll chant a greater quantity, and that's how we'll get quality. That's one of the flaws of Prakriti Sahajyaism. One devotee who fell prey to that told Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, Haridas Thakur is the Namacharja. And these are his exact words. He didn't say, we must follow him. Interestingly, these are his exact words. He said, we must imitate him. And if we imitate him and chant 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam, 300,000 names, Krishna must give us prem. So he said, I'm asking your blessings that I can find a real guru. He's asking Prabhupada, please give your blessings that I can find a real connection, where they'll tell me to chant 100,000 name or 300,000, and then Krishna must give me prem. The quality of what is not an issue. Just when you achieve this quantity, then you get Krishna prem. How foolish. Sometimes Mahaprabhu cannot say one name. Why? He's Krishna Prem personified. He can't chant one. He jaga, can't say Jagannath. What is his problem? Rupa Goswami saying, what there is in one name? The sweet Krishneti Varna Tvai, you know, Karna, Krodha, Kadambini Gataya. Karnar Budhavyas Priham. You'll want millions of tongues, millions of ears to capture the sweetness of that sound. So we want to serve the Holy Name. We're not trying to squeeze something out of the Holy Name for our lower purpose, but are trying to offer ourselves and our energy in the service of the purpose of the Holy Name. If sometimes someone came to Guru Maharaj and they say, oh, such and such devotee, he leads very nice kirtan or something, Guru Maharaj would be worried about that person. Oh, so he can understand some kind of a show is going on. Once they're praising one devotee for his kirtan, one of the devotees at the mat, Guru Maharaj said, as someone said, his kirtan is so sweet. Guru Maharaj said, his argument is sweeter. What did that mean? His argument is sweeter. What did Saraswati Thakur say? I'm not interested to hear. I mean, Guru Maharaj is our guru of the Chaitanya Saraswat Mad and what comes down from it. What is the, you know, most famous event? Is Saraswati Thakur stopping someone from singing who's a known kirtaniya? And Saraswati Thakur saying, I'm not interested to hear a sweet tune. That is our Guru Maharaj. You must have heard some tape of him singing. We have some. You can hear them sometimes. I'm saying for safest, We hear there are tapes of Gurudev, many of Gurudev singing the Arati song, this song, that, many things. To follow his way of doing that is safest. And then you can understand if there are things that are current or in vogue that he doesn't do, they've come from somewhere else. They've been introduced by others, someone other than Srila Gurudev or Srila Guru Maharaj. But as I said, Srila Gurudev, he did not make an issue out of it. He did not want to dampen the enthusiasm of the devotees. He didn't see it as being harmful. But he knows, and if Guru Maharaj was alive, he might have to be told to stop it. Because Guru Maharaj has a different level of sensitivity. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration. And time, place, and circumstance. Sometimes any attempt that someone makes, we're happy about that. Like when the child is trying to say their first words, or they're humming, saying, there might be a little nonsense. They're to be encouraged. They're in the child stage. They're being encouraged. But can't ever use that as an excuse forever in the child stage. At some point, there should be some maturity. And with that comes a little refinement, dignity. Is this clock off by an hour? Yeah, I mean, just leave it. So it's off by 1 hour?
It's off by
or it's off by a year? Or
no, right now it's 2013.
Okay. The year 2013 or 8:13?
8:13.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure I'm close. It was 2015 when I last checked. I understand. Okay, military time. I've told many times when I met Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, went searching for him. I'd met him before, but the time I searched him out at Chaitanya Sarasvat Math, and I told him, or I told Guru Maharaj, actually, and that later in that meeting, that the way of doing the kirtan was vanishing, perhaps with the disciples of Saraswati Thakur. So there may be some value to making some of these recordings. But when Babaji Maharaj saw the tape recorder I pulled out of my mouth, he was a little disturbed, and he said, "The important thing is that you chant Hare Krishna." Like there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute in devotion. You can't have a substitute. A family member, a child, a spouse, who can do it for you. So we're asked to chant. And, from the heart, under the influence of Guru and Vaishnava. But we believe that the Shuddhanam is the domain of the Guru Varga. Like Guru Maharaj, Gurudev's idea is that Guru Maharaj, he can take Shuddhanam, Krishna Nam, and we're serving him. He's serving him and leading the group of servitors. It'll be our best, and we'll take the minimum, our best interest to serve the higher Vaishnava. That's the system, the Gaudiya system. Still, I think the kirtan this evening was nice. And had some brightness, some the right amount of enthusiasm. It's not a contest. We've seen sometimes we were on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place, Swananda Sukhada Kunja, and so many Gaudiya Mats had come, and they're singing. And each mat, naturally, they're to sing them song. They give like their best singer, best mridanga player. But after a while, I started thinking it looked like a little bit of a competition, like who can sustain a note long, who can sing Gurudev, hold it the longest. And then I thought, what is this? Our idea is not to draw attention to the individual's skills, but to conduct a pleasing kirtan for the Lord and his devotees. Any other question?
Krishnarottam Prabhu and Hilda Ovaido, and you there, Dandavats Pranams. So, there is a question from Gupta Govardhan, little simple-hearted question about Krishna Lila. It's said in our scriptures that Krishna Lila is eternal, and when Krishna finished his lila in one universe, then he moves into another universe.
Yes.
And also it's said in the scriptures that there are limitless universes.
Yes.
In the entire material creation. So the question, when Lord enjoy in his own spiritual world, if he have to move from one universe to another? Some
I think I get the idea. Yes. Well, it's mysterious, it's mystical. Because generally we take it, there's Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan. So some, and by some I mean spiritual experts, they're of the opinion that Goloka Vrindavan is the original. And then Gokula, the Prapancha Lila, that means the pastimes in this world, are like a satellite of that. And that's going through the material world from universe to universe till the wind-up of the universe. Like that. But Guru Maharaj and perhaps Bhaktivinoda Thakur Jiva Goswami, they present another concept in a Brahma Sangita, it's hinted at, and there's some corroborating evidence in the Garga Sangita that when Krishna decides to bring his pastimes, the Prapancha Lila, right, from the spiritual world into the material world, so-called, that when he presents this idea to Srimati Radharani, that she says, I will only go if we take all of our paraphernalia with us. She doesn't want a replica or something similar, but she's saying, the Jamuna, Vrinda, everything, or I'm not going. And she says it twice to underscore that she's very serious. Have to bring the Jamuna, Vrinda, what we have here, we take all of this with us and descend there. So, another way of seeing it is that mysteriously, mystically, and for the benefit of everyone, the original is brought into this world, and what remains behind Goloka is like a satellite extension of the original. Such things are possible with Krishna. And that makes the Prapancha Leela all the more interesting and dramatic, because we can understand in the spiritual world there are no conditioned souls. Right? So all those pastimes there, they're all, every aspect of it is conducted by liberated souls. Whereas when the Lord brings his abode down here and displays his pastimes here, the infinite, and Guru Maharaj's words actually, mixing with the finite as if he's one of them. And that we talked about in the beginning, and same thing in Mahaprabhu's pastimes. To be blunt, there are mundane people who come in connection with Mahaprabhu or Krishna, and according to their capacity, they either appreciate, do not appreciate, or the gradations of appreciation may be there, how he's viewed. As in Devi Bhav in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. According to the inner awakenment and development of those, now these are devotees, not non-devotees. But still, there's gradation according to their inner awakenment. So some are seeing Durga Devi, some are seeing Chandi, some seeing Lakshmi, Rukmini, Srimati Radharani. All simultaneously, they're seeing according to their inner awakenment and inner spiritual development. So then we can say, well, the material world has some special pastimes for Krishna. It's not just liberate all these conditioned souls, get it over with, and then we'll only have a spiritual world. That's not described anywhere. There's a time, the Mahapralaya, where it enters Sushupti, this deep, like, sleeping stage. Whatever conditioned souls didn't make it, they enter in a sleeping condition within Mahavishnu. After some, they come out again, get these opportunities again. But Brahma Jyoti, Jivas are, it's a growing thing. So more being generated. 0 + 0 = 0. 0 × 0 = 0. It's always Krishna and only Krishna. Radha, Krishna, and their extensions, expansions, and entourage. But this is growing, living, growing, and dynamic. So that means that repeatedly there are innumerable opportunities for conditioned souls to come in connection with the Lord in his pastimes, his avatars, incarnations, divine abode, associates, etc. So it's a hopeful scenario for all of us. Does that answer the question?
So, from Narasimha Chaitanya Prabhu, USA. Please accept Naidandavat, dear Maharaj. Based on the Bhagavatam verse that says, Savai Pumsam Parod Harmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshadje. It used the criteria of what is right and what is wrong in this world, what is religion and irreligion. And ultimately, nothing seems perfect or permanent other than things which are pleasing to the Lord. But specific name used there is Adhokshadje, meaning beyond all the approach of our senses, all our senses and faculties. So, how do we come to terms with the fact that the value of correctness of what is right and wrong of anything is dependent upon something which transcends all our abilities to comprehend? So,
that means points to Amnai, revealed truth, and agents of revealed truth, the devotees. The long and short of it is the only way we can have any type of certainty in terms of pleasing Krishna is through his agents. The statements of the scriptures are there, but more specifically, his agents, his devotees. Because in the statements of the scripture, from the mouth of Krishna comes the importance of serving his devotees and having a substantial relationship with them as a means to please him. Ahang bhakta paradino hyasvantantra eva dvija. So he's apparently independent, indifferent, aloof, all these things, but in the presence of devotion, it's as if he loses his independence. That's the power of devotion, which is in the heart of genuine devotees. Krishna comes under their control. The supreme controller is under their control. So, that means, as he said, adhoksaja, beyond the grasp of the mind, senses, intellect. But the 87th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Veda Stuti, Prayers of the Personified Vedas, deals with some of this. Saying, then when it's mentioned that if the Vedas, their sounds, and you vibrate sounds, like with your tongue, your voice box, the ether, etc. Those are all mundane things. How can it indicate or generate anything spiritual by using material? I think that's kind of similar to this question. And one of the answers given there is that this is really the purpose of all of these things. Of having senses, mind, intelligence, you know, hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling. But of another type. So what do we hear? Rupa Goswami, and quoting Narada, Sarvupadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchate. Who is adhoksaja? Another one of his names is Hrishikesh. And if you can saturate your senses under the guidance of Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnav in service, then Shayameva Spurtida, Sevan Mukhe Hijavado Shayameva Spurtida, he may consent to reveal himself. And what he reveals is still beyond the mundane mind, intellect, and senses, but not the spiritual senses. Chakravarti Thakur says in one place, another meaning of adha, aksaja, is like, close your eyes. Krishna tells the Braja Gopis, who are feeling separation from him in the letter from Uddhava, close your eyes and think of me, and I will appear there. And he does. But we like it, prefer where, who is the object of the, you know, Paramatma yogis is the object of their hearts is walking the streets of Navadvip or Vrindavan. Adha Aksaja is a reference to mundane sense experience. Is Adha is suppressed when he descends. Doesn't mean, forget it, he can't be seen. He can't be seen, heard, experienced, you know, just forget it. No, it's saying when he reveals himself to you, all of the mundane experience will be suppressed at that time. That's Adha Aksaja, Adhoksaja. But there will be seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling, all of these things. But it won't be through gloves being enveloped in a layer of, you know, mind, intellect, ego, bhumirapo, analovayu, kamano, buddhirivacha, ahankara. What is that? Apani pado javana grihita. He has no legs, no eyes, no ears, but he is fast, can see everything and hear everything. It means to say, no mundane senses. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara sanvatam te nirvisha karna vivarai haratanga tapam rupam disham akilarta rupam disham drishimitam akilarta labam twaya chuta vishati chitram apatrapam me. Rukmini says, when I heard about you, I could understand, I would see your form within me, that you're the most beautiful thing in the world. Bhuvana sundar. That's what it means, actually. But not of this world. You're saying you're the most beautiful thing in the world means adhoksaja, really. He said, and now I understand why we have eyes, what they're meant for. They're meant for seeing your divine form. And we think it's optional. Like, and you can use your senses to do this or to do that. But someone who's had some connection with Krishna say, now I understand why there's such a thing as sight, why the sense of sight exists. It exists to see you and your paraphernalia and your pastimes. It's a wonderful thing, gift of yours. To hear about you, to hear your holy name, to taste you, rasoham apsukonteya punyo gandak prativyam cha. We have to remember there is always and only Krishna. You know, we're coming from a world where we're thinking about it. Like, we're willing to allow Krishna. That there be a Krishna. But actually, there is always and only Krishna. And Krishna is a system. Radha and Krishna, Lalita Vishakha, Nanda Yasoda, Sridham, Subal, etc. So, where we are at present, Vinod Bole Hai Hai Haridas Hari Nahi Pai. Bhakti Vinod Thakur saying, Krishna, he is our nearest and dearest, and but nowhere to be found. What kind of a mess have we gotten ourselves into? But by hearing Srutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Sanvatam Te, then Adhoksaja, Krishna, can reveal himself to us. Shradhan Vato Anushranayat Atavarna Yedya. So faith, like the breeze here, growing, say air, they call it. We have a scientist here. Atmosphere, stratosphere, ionosphere. Anybody know that? What is it?
Layers.
Yeah, but what are they called? Atmosphere, stratosphere, ionosphere. Right? I'm saying, so air, I mean, to make it, maybe I got them wrong or something, you know, if somebody writes in, you know. Air goes so far, that's the point, Guru is saying. Then ether has more extensive range. What do you think? So faith, there's a plane that's only approachable by faith. It's a good example. So when you need to breathe, you can't be out of the atmosphere, right? Where there's no air. Won't be able to survive there. Prabhupada told the truth or not. You'll faint. And that realm Guru Maharaj is broadcasting from, we will faint. We can't remain conscious there. But through the cultivation of faith, you can learn more, like a diver. The divers, you know the divers who dive for pearls? The way they used to do it, where like, it had to do with how much you can hold your breath. You hold your breath, and then you go down, but you have to come up according to your capacity. Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, like a bird flying an infinite sky. It's another example. The finite going to meet the infinite. A drop of the infinite overwhelms the finite. Ekang stainas tito jagat. Arjun, a drop of my infinite, you know, what's finite to me is inconceivable infinite to you. Let me know when you've had enough. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we think, no, we're the people who believe all these things. But we have to reconceive the infinite repeatedly. Two fingers too short, dui unguli. What we thought was enough, it's not enough. It's Krishna's out of the range of that. That's adhoksaja. But if he so chooses to reveal himself to you, you can have a glimpse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, like lightning. Like now, if there's lightning, it's very dark. If there's lightning, everything will be illumined momentarily, and then it will vanish. But in the case of a glimpse of Krishna conception, that the aftermath will leave some hankering in the heart of the devotee. Like the poet Wallace Stevens, he has a poem called something like 13 different ways of looking at a blackbird. Don't worry about it. But one of the lines says, he says, I do not know which I prefer, the song of the blackbird or just after. Understand? The song or just after? Just after is separation. That means remembrance. Remembering that. So I don't know which I prefer. Meeting or separation? Union or separation? Seems in separate. Recalling that, it's more profound. It's deeper. Can recall again and again and again a glimpse. But that will how do you say? fuel some hankering in that devotee for another connection, if it so pleases the Lord. And if not, that's good too. Radharani says, if his happiness is me suffering, then that's good for me. I'm happy with that. That's all I need to know, is whatever the situation is it making Krishna happy? Like Gurudev praising Yudhamani Prabhu, saying, he just asked me, do you want this or not? Does this make you happy or not? That was his only question. And if Gurudev said, yes, then he continues doing that. Whether it makes him happy or not, that's not his concern. That's devotion. Srimati Radharani, Antilila, chapter 20, Chaitanya Charitamritam. Asli Shiva Parvatam Panastumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Kurotuva. Yatatata Vavaradatu Lampato Matprana Natastu Sareva Napara. Adarshanam. It's interesting. She speaks of not seeing Krishna. That's the real test. And that's good for us because that's our situation. We're not seeing. So if you can go on in the midst of not seeing, Hare Krishna, maybe a devotee, that highest, most renowned type person possible, a devotee of Krishna, Ramananda, tomorrow. There's no greater thing than that. Someone, they are reputed to have devotion to Krishna. Hare Krishna.